Father, we thank you. We give you praise. We thank you for the opportunity to worship you in spirit and in truth this morning. Be in our worship. Be in our praise this morning. I declare, God, this morning that chains will be broken, that people that need healing will be healed, that lives will be changed in this place this morning. In Jesus' name, hallelujah.
Alive.
you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We bless your name, oh God. You are worthy to be praised. We honor you in this place this morning, God.
Walking around these walls, I thought by now they'd fall, but you have never failed me yet.
Jesus.
Waiting for change to come, knowing the battle's won, for you have never failed me yet.
I want to sing your promise.
Your promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness. My
my heart.
Hallelujah. At some point in time in your walk with God, you cross a bridge. You know, when you first accept Jesus as your Savior, He's alive and He's real and it's exciting. But then life happens. That is, disappointments occur, troubles come your way, and you start questioning even what you believe. There has to come a place in your life with Christ that the only thing that truly, truly matters is your relationship with Him. Everything else is vain. Everything else is going to pass. Nothing else is going to last. Things shift, things change. Situations occur. And when you allow that to be a blockage to His love, then you're literally missing the entirety of your purpose on this planet. You see, today, the only thing that matters is your expression to Him. Some of you got many things on your mind. Some of you got trouble in your life. Some of you just look for trouble. But we just got done a worship set. Powerful worship set. And some of you have not even stepped in. And the question is, why? We've got all of our reasons, but He's still God. Whether you're mad, whether you're happy, whether you're sad, He's still God. He's still alive. He still deserves our praise and our worship. He still deserves. And when we have Him as our abandon, when we have Him as the number one priority, it really doesn't matter what else is happening around us. He still deserves it. Amen. I said amen. And you know, sometimes it's so easy to be church eyes. You know what I mean? Well, we go to church. Even preachers, we get church eyes too. We go to church. Well, it's Sunday morning. Yep. Okay, we got to go to church. Hope he doesn't preach too long today. We've got to get back to this is all about Jesus. And when we forget that, we really are missing what this is all about. You know, that last song is powerful. Can you just sing that chorus one more time? Just listen to this. Listen to the chorus.
And I will sing from the overflow.
Is there overflow? Is there overflow? Jesus.
Lifting high my response to who He is
in my
life.
Oh, the response, the response. Who is He in your life? Who is Jesus to you? Who is Jesus to you? Do you really know Him? Are you growing in Him? Is this about relationship with Him? I tell you, it changes everything. You know, we can do our three set and everybody's out. We hurry up, we get out of here at the right time. But what good is it? What good is church if you're just coming and sucking air? We've got to know Him. With all of your getting, you've got to get Christ. And when you do, man, I tell you something. Everything else is just vainglory. It really doesn't matter. Everything else comes and things go and things happen and life occurs. We have happy times. We have sad times. We have difficult times. We have free times. But when he's your number one, he's there all the time. Amen? That is the consistency in Christ. Being constant, being consistent in Jesus. And I challenge you to live that way. These songs here, they just don't become songs anymore. It's lifestyle. This becomes lifestyle. See, this song is either a song to you or a lifestyle to you. And when it's lifestyle, everything is shifted in your whole life.
Yes.
When it's a song, man, they sang it three times in a row. What is wrong with them? Couldn't they have just sung it twice and gone to another one? Has nothing to do with the song.
Yes.
Has to do with lifestyle. Do you really know Jesus? Do you really know Jesus? Are you in relationship with Jesus? Or are you just churchized? It's time. It's time. It's time for you to shift your life.
Yes.
Because he wants you more than you could ever want him.
Yes.
Amen. 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 I said amen.
Amen.
Why don't you turn to four or five people and say, I got to get Jesus with all my getting. Amen. On your way back to your chair, make sure you welcome four or five folks that you don't know this morning. Please don't be a snob today. Make sure you say hello to somebody you do not know. Come on, say hello to somebody you don't know. Don't be a snob now. Come on, say hello. I see a lot of people sitting down. If you could just turn to somebody and say, well, good morning. Good morning. You have 38 seconds. Come on, turn around to somebody and say, well, good morning. You look marvelous today. Come on, everybody needs a smile on their face. They just need someone to say hello. Hello, Brother Abe. I love you.
Your promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness. I'm still in your my confidence, you never fail. Your promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness.
Men, one of the greatest things you can have is food and fellowship and Bible learning. So we want to let you know that Wednesdays from 6 to 8 p.m. at St. John's Mission Center, you'll be having men's ministry every single week. Join us. It's one of the best nights you'll ever have.
Pastor has impacted me. I was struggling in my life, and it was really hard for me to try to connect myself where I was in my walk. I just felt dry and dead. And I came to him one day and asked him, I said, Pastor, I need your help. So and I don't know what to do next, what my next step is. He invested in me, and we started doing devotions every day, and he's really invested in me a lot. He had faith in me, and he's spoken to me. It's been a constant thing. He's always encouraging me and building me up. My life has changed so much. It's just incredible. My family life has just blown up. It's just amazing. Can't do nothing but thank him for everything he's done and who he has. Thank Christ for leading him to me, leading me to him.
I'm getting ready for trunk or treat.
Oh.
Trunk or treat, Harvest Fest, October 31st from 6 to 8 p.m.
Huh. Oh, cool.
Make sure you're bringing candy.
All right.
Pack up your trunk to feed the children, okay?
Well, yeah.
So again, October 31st, Harvest Fest, trunk or treat. Make sure you're bringing candy for these kids. Fill your trunks, donate candy. See you at Harvest Fest.
Video.
Hey family, we've been hearing a lot about our new program called Next Steps. We want to help you grow and develop in your walk with Jesus. So beginning with step one, foundation. We're actually just getting this started this week, October 4th. We want to help you get involved so you can sign up for that right away. Step two, we're beginning on October 25th. That's a Tuesday night at 7 p.m. So we want you to sign up. We want you to get connected into Next Steps so that way you can grow. And then into step three is about expanding and then moving into step four about fulfilling. There's a lot of people that get lost in church. We don't want you to get lost here at His Tabernacle. This is why Next Steps is here for you. So that way you know what direction you can go in. So make sure that you sign up for Next Steps. You can sign up Sunday morning at the Hub, or you can sign up online at histabernacle.com. Click on Next Steps and register for whatever step you are ready to take. Go down to Next Steps and click on whatever step you are ready to take. Sign up and take your next step today.
Hey, His Tab family. Really? Family's louder than that. Hey, His Tab family. There you go. We just want to welcome all the first-time guests to the house this morning. If you are a first-time guest, we are not going to pull you out and pull you up here on the stage like I'm standing. So don't be afraid. Just raise your hand up like this, like so. Maybe your left hand or right hand. We got some people that are going to bring around a gift for you. We have a packet just for you. Anybody in here? Anybody? Going once, twice. Come on. Peeps, listen. Hey, family, you got to invite some people out to church on Sunday. Come on. We got some peeps here. Where are we? Oh, right back here. She's brave. We got some brave ones back here. Awesome. We got a packet coming to you. Make sure that you come out to our guest center right afterwards. Get us information. We have a guest reception following as well. Also, real quick, we want to welcome all the live streamers. Can we give the live streamers a hand clap this morning? Thank you so much for joining us this morning. We hope you're blessed wherever you are. We thank you for joining us this morning. And as you saw the video about Next Steps, you should have everybody got one of these little pamphlets as you're walking in the door. If you did not get one of these pamphlets, please raise your hand. We have ushers that are going to bring them around to you. Leave your hands up. I'm going to keep talking. So anyway, in that you're going to see the step breakdown from 1, 2, 3, and 4. We just started this week, this past week, we just started step number one, all right? We're doing Tuesday nights with Rock Solid Faith. That is at 7 p.m. with Pastor Spencer. We do Wednesday mornings at 9 a.m. with yours truly. And then on Thursday night at 6 p.m., we're doing it also. So we just started this past week. So make sure you sign up, you join. You can go to the hub right afterwards, right out front, or you can go online, histabernacle.com. Go to Next Steps and register for what step you're ready for. Also, for step two, we're getting started that October 25th, 7 p.m., and the first class for that is marriage. And you'll see all this information on the Next Steps brochure. Thank you.
The Trunk or Treat, what a fabulous commercial. But I also want to make sure you know that we are asking for you to do your trunk, decorate it up. The best trunk every year gets a grand prize. I'm not sure what the prize is this year, but it's quite fabulous, and it's a great time. So make sure if you're interested in doing a trunk, decorating it, filling it with candy, see Miss Brenda at the hub, at the children's sign-in.
Praise the Lord. We want to, many times we have folks come to the church that are new and they just don't know the staff. And we would love to introduce to you the staff of His Tabernacle Family Church. What a great group of people. We're going to stand over here. There is no such thing as a one-man show at His Tabernacle Family Church. This is a phenomenal group of men and women who love the Lord, move in the power of God. Pastor David. We want to introduce to you Pastor David Wilkerson. Wilkerson! He and his beautiful bride, if you're down in the Waverly Sarah Hospital, many times you'll see Pastor David come with his wife, and they'll pray for you and minister to you. So Pastor David's also been over worship and worked with worship for years. He was a worship pastor for 20-some-odd years before he came here, and a pastor of his father. With him and his father, they pastored the church together. Great man of God. We're blessed to have him. Amen? This is my relative, Carla. She's working with the administrative staff of His Tabernacle Family Church. Admin is very important here. We have a lot going on. Amen. You want to take some more?
Okay, this is Pastor Cody, our son, our oldest son, and his wife, Mindy. Mindy works on our salvation team right now, and Pastor Cody and Mindy together run the youth ministry of this church. And I'm telling you, if your children, your youth, are not in youth ministry, they are missing it. Have them here. They have powerful move of God every Thursday on this altar. Their lives are being changed. Thank you. And Pastor Andrea Ogunwumi, our prayer and intercessory leader, our powerhouse, our fire in this house. We thank you so much.
The next is Minister Redner and Julia. Minister Redner runs his own corporation, very, very successful corporation, and came to me about a year, actually been over 2 years now, and said, I just really feel led of the Lord to work with the staff. Would you be interested in having me come on and actually sowing his time for free to come and work with as the executive pastor of the church? So he oversees all the pastoral and ministers of His Tabernacle Family Church, and his wife, Julia, she is just an amazing lady. She will love you, minister to you, pray for you. Great woman of God. We're so blessed to have him. We also have Minister Palco, or actually now Pastor Palco, last Sunday. And Jeremy, Pastor Palco has been with us for, I believe, 18 years. Amen. And Jeremy, probably 16. He came in right after, maybe 17. 18, too? Wow. You're getting old.
And Jeremy works with our Raw Youth Ministry every single week. A phenomenal leader. Thank you very much. And this is Pastor Chad and Pastor Jade, our middle child. He's a middle child. Anybody else a middle child in here? Yeah, so you can relate. You're blessed. He says you're blessed people. So they have come here, Pastor Jade, all the way from South Africa, and they are here working with our young adults and our outreach department and doing a phenomenal job. On Tuesday nights, if you're a young adult, they are having powerful moves of God. Every Tuesday night, they've been having over 60 young adults coming into this house, worshiping and learning and growing deeper in relationship with Jesus. So we thank you so much for that. Pastor Chad and Pastor Jade headed the Rock the City event. That was what they got thrown as their introduction. Amen. And this is, I'm going to have Pastor Spencer introduce you because of the Bible College.
This is Pastor Obina Igbo with his beautiful bride. What's amazing is he was a very successful young man. He has an MBA, and his wife is a nurse. She reminds me so much of my wife, and you're a very blessed man. You're a great woman of God. You just need to know that. You might not be out in front of everybody all the time, but you are making this ministry happen. And without you, he would not be able to be where he's at. It's the truth. Any man that gets a woman like you in the ministry is successful. Amen. So Pastor Obina Igbo left a full-time job with Corning Incorporated to come here full-time, took an enormous salary cut. Why? Because he believes in the vision of the house. And he is here as the dean of Regent Bible Institute. We have a Bible Institute right here. We train up ministers, young men and young women, to go into the ministry and do the work of the ministry. Powerful man of God, and we just are so blessed to have them both. Amen. Pastor Johnson, how are you? He's our worship pastor. Great man of God. Does now, he's one that is kind of quiet. He really isn't quiet, but he is quiet in the public realm a lot of times. But what a powerful prophetic anointing in his life and the giftings that are on his life. And, you know, one thing that's a challenge for us is Pastor Johnson's here for a period of time. He is coming on. He came on for 2 years, and I'm so blessed that he's here for another year. Glory to God. But there's a reality that he's going to be moving on, and he has a vision that's burning in his spirit that he had since he was, how old, 19? When you had that vision? 21. 21, and now he's only 22. And so we're believing that vision is going to explode, and as a house, we've been able to enjoy and grow with him and what God is doing in he and his family. Amen? You want to take the skinkles?
Absolutely. These are Josiah Skinkle. He is the head of our risk management and building and grounds and bus ministry. And what is it that he doesn't do? And his wife, Jamie, who has been very, very instrumental in the children's ministry of this church. She has such a heart to invest in our children, and we are so grateful for all that they do and all of the ministry, the endless hours that go into everything that you two do as a family with your children, might I say. Your children are right along with them doing all the ministries that they are involved in.
And we're praying for 4 more children. Glory to God.
Yes, and baby boy coming on the way. And this is minister last week, Brenda Ostrander, and her husband, Shane. Shane runs our usher ministry in this church, and you will see his face all the time serving. Their family has such a servant's heart. If you want to be great in God's kingdom, be a servant of all. And that's what their family, again, their young girls right alongside of them in every part of ministry. So thank you so much, Shane, for your faithfulness to the house. And Brenda is in charge of all of our children's ministries. And Pastor has said so many times, she is one of the largest churches in this area. She ministers to over 200 and some odd, I don't know the exact numbers, children every single week, not to mention over 70 volunteers that work with her ministry. So she's ministering to almost 300 people a week, children and adults. So we thank you so much for investing into our children. I walked in the children's ministry to pick up my granddaughter this week, Thursday night, and one of the teachers was sitting on the floor teaching her the song, I Am Special. And she was singing all the way home. They aren't babysitting. They're teaching our children the Word of God powerfully. So thank you so much for investing into our children. Amen. And this is Carla Fisher and her very strong husband, Abe, who we are so grateful for. Carla heads our administrative team here. She is my personal assistant, my right hand, the other side of my brain half the time. She really just is a 24/7 employee here at the disapproval of her husband of that. We try to leave her time exclusively with him on the weekends, but she is a very faithful person in making sure all of the order and organization of this church flows smoothly.
Amen. I love you, Abe. I'm afraid of Abe. He's big, isn't he? The next is Pastor Daniel Dykes and his beautiful wife, Jody. Amen. Pastor Dan was my, worked with me specifically for 5 years, where literally before I knew what I needed, he already knew for me. And then he, the Lord blessed him and promoted him into associate pastor. And he is my face to you. If you see Pastor Dan, you're seeing me. Great man of God. Miracles. I mean, the man moves in signs and wonders and miracles. And a powerful man of the Lord and can preach. Come on, can this boy preach? Hallelujah. And his beautiful wife, Jody. She is such a great lady, isn't she? When you get opportunity to hang around Jody, you can't do anything but pee yourself. It's just nothing else is possible. She is so fun. I remember the one that always sticks with me is I remember once she took my daughter out, and I saw them dancing on the hood of a car. I think it was her car. Yes, it was your car. On the hood of her car in the Walmart parking lot. And I said, yep, that's Jody. All right, hang on for the ride. She will always make you laugh. She has the joy of the Lord. That's her strength. And she is a phenomenal support to her husband and their family. Amen? We love you. This is Minister Randall. We love Minister Randall. I love Minister Randall. He's been my little boy for so long. And went off to Bible college down in Florida. He came back to us and has worked on the staff. He worked with the Salvations for a year, and now he's actually stepping into one of his passions, and that is he's wants to become a criminal justice and into sheriff's department, and the Lord is using him, and he's still very, very active in the house as he's exploring other options in growing in Christ. This is Minister Carl. The moment I said his name, he started to sweat. And his wife, Donna. We are so blessed. Amen. He heads up all of the senior ministries. Like they do, I mean, there's nursing homes. We minister to three, correct? Four different nursing homes a week. You know, there's no greater mission field than the nursing homes. Amen. You know, some of them are for elderly, and others are for folks that, you know, income-wise. But no matter what, we know this, is that they're hearing the gospel. Yes, and there are many people right on the threshold of heaven or hell, yes. And these folks are bringing the message of salvation. Amen? Amen. We want to give them thank God. Amen? Amen? Are you sweating? Yes. We love you. And you're a nurse, right? And his wife, Dawn, is a nurse, and they minister together. Amen. This is the staff of His Tabernacle Family Church.
Good morning. This is an awesome staff. Go ahead, give them another I love you. Woo! While y'all are standing up, can I get you to say a couple things with me? Loving God. Saving souls and developing leaders. Say it again. Loving God. Saving souls and developing leaders. This is the vision that they implemented 19 years ago, folks. And here's proof. You guys are proof. Second service is proof. If you're watching live stream, you all are proof. Those that have been equipped and sent out, there's proof too. There's proof everywhere. Proof everywhere of that vision. You see, when God measures a leader, he doesn't measure their head. He measures their heart. And you two, you measure up. You measure up. And we just thank you from the bottom of our hearts for everything that you've invested in each one of us here. And I just would like to remind everybody that next week is, it's Pastor Appreciation Sunday. This month, all across the United States, churches are celebrating that. His Tabernacle is doing that next week. We as a staff, we'd love to bless their socks off, because quite honestly, have you seen the socks he wears sometimes? See? There's proof. But we would love to see you do the same. So next week, be ready. Pray to God this week. What would he have you do to bless this man and woman of God? Go ahead, give him an I love you.
Good morning, everybody. You may be seated. Thank you, pastors and staff, for being up here this morning. I'm just going to take a couple of minutes to point out to you that many of you have heard from the office this week about our new online giving page. And so this is just kind of a little housekeeping before Pastor Rhonda gets ready to receive the offering. If you'll notice on your, we have brand new tithe envelopes. Thank you all who have gotten back to us and who have cooperated in helping us put this new system in place. It's working beautifully, and many of you have given us great feedback about it. We have three ways now that you can give by card. And the first way, and probably the most tedious way, is to use your envelope. But your envelope is available every single week. With our new system, there's a couple of more pieces of information that we need from you in order to have successful card processing. So if you look on your envelope in the bottom, if you're using a card to give, please be sure to fill out all of the information in that card information section, because we now need that three-digit code and a valid email address. The second way to give, and is much easier, is with online giving. And you can do that even from your smartphone. And many of you have already received your temporary login and password and gone on to change that. You now have a giving profile. I'm sorry? Oh, it is easiest to make it online. You are able to make a reoccurring gift. So if you're on a salary or if your tithe and offering amount is the exact same every single week, you can set that up to bring out the same amount out of your card or your checking account every single week by going online and setting that up. And that is at www.histabernacle.com and click on the giving page to set up your profile if you have not done so already. The third way, and by far the easiest way, is the text to give with your credit card. This, and you'll see on the screen, we have a brand new number. Thank you for all the folks who have already been using this, and then we've communicated with everyone that the new number is available. But this is the easiest way to give by card. You simply text the amount, the dollar sign $40, to this number. And you'll get a response with a link, and you go on, enter your card information. You only have to do that one time. It will save your card information. And then next week, when you want to give again, you can change the amount. You can make it whatever you like. You simply text the amount to that number, and you will get a response that said, thank you for giving. It's absolutely the easiest way to give by card. Thank you, and we will announce it a couple more times on a video so that everybody gets up to speed. But once again, thank you, everyone. The transition has been amazing, and you've all been wonderful. Thank you. Amen. So why on earth do we give? Maybe it's your first time. Maybe you've never been taught about giving. We give for several reasons. First and foremost, because God tells us the tithe is his. Tithe means 10%. It belongs to the Lord. Second of all, it's because it brings him pleasure when we tithe, because when we tithe, our finances are blessed. And it says he takes pleasure in the prosperity of his children. So that is why, another reason why we tithe. And the third is because then it is make sure we have enough for every good work. How shall they know unless the word is sent? So when you tithe, it makes it available so we can do Rock the City. We can do TV program, His Word TV. We can do live stream. We can do all the ministries, children's ministries, have pastors on staff, bless the community. So our tithe is instituted by God, and we give because we desire to honor God, and it brings him pleasure when his children are blessed and prosperous. Are you ready to give? Let's stand to your feet and make our supernatural declaration. It's in Deuteronomy chapter 28, and if you'll repeat it, it says, if I obey, oh, then I'm blessed going in, and I am blessed going out. I'm blessed in my storehouse. And I'm blessed in my basket. The blessings have chased me down. They've tripped me up. Because I'm a child of God. And I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Come on and bring your tithes and offerings to the Lord.
Your promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness, faithfulness. I'm still in your hands. This is my confidence. You never fail. Your promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness.
Praise the Lord. I'm very excited about today's word. I believe it's going to be a life changer for many of you. You know, many times we just don't know because we've never been taught. In this house, we do a lot of teaching. We're very much a teaching church. But what happens is if you miss a service, you've missed a nugget. Sometimes you miss a gear. And when you miss a gear, what occurs is the motion of the engine doesn't fly properly. And so today, I just want to get back to a message that I know will affect your life. And it will afflict you. That's the truth. Shout this out loud with me. Truth bends facts. Truth bends facts. For those who were not here last year, last week, you must turn to somebody and say, you must watch this. Go to the church archives. You must watch this. This is not a message that you have the, this is not a message that you should just allow to escape your life. You have got to have the message that truth bends facts. Because we're all going to deal with facts in our lives. We're all going to deal with difficulties and situations in our lives that are very, very real. God has never called us to deny facts, but he's called us to speak the truth. The Bible declares that Jesus said, I am the way, the, and the life. Jesus said, I am the way, the facts, and the life. No, it's not the facts. Facts are natural. Facts can be changed by the truth that is supernatural. And many of us live so natural in our life, we allow life just to occur, and God wants to teach you how to take the truth, the Word of God, and apply it in such a dimension that it literally will take a fact and shift it to the truth. This does not occur by just sitting back and hoping it's going to happen. Many believers are not real believers. What do I mean by that? I mean they're going to heaven, but they've never learned to believe that the Word of God is ultimately the truth. If you ask people in church, you ask them, do they believe in the Bible? Everyone always says yes. But believing in the Bible is more than just a fictitious fairy tale. It is something that must be applicable. We either believe that God's word is supernatural, that the Rhema word of God is transitional, that the Rhema word of God is more powerful than the facts that we stand in on this planet, or we just have it as a nice little story time that we use when we need to have just a soul sensation in our lives. But the Lord wants to teach you that truth, the word of God, is so powerful, is so supernatural, it can take everything fact that is against the word and twist it and turn it to where it should be, that God always holds his word even above the facts of the natural. The Bible makes a declaration in Psalms 1:3, it's our verse for the year, you shall be, everybody shall say, that's me. So anything that is opposite of this is facts that needs to be bent by truth. Say it one more time. You shall be. God is making a declaration in his word that this is who you are called to be. Don't ever accept anything less than what God has called you to be. Don't ever allow things to happen in your life that God has not called into your life. And how do you know whether it's God or not? By his word. So as believers, we have been called to believe that the word of God is yea and amen. That God's word is truth. It is set. It is what overwhelmingly is more powerful than any fact you'll hear on this planet. The verse we use, you shall be like a tree that's planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit, whose leaf shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. Turn to someone and say, my will is coupled with God's will. I will prosper according to the word of God. The Bible makes a declaration in Mark chapter 4, 26 through 29, the same verse we used last week. And Jesus said, the kingdom of God is if a man shall scatter seed in the ground and should sleep by night and rise by day, and the seed should sprout and grow. He himself does not know how. Say that with me. He himself does not know how. For the earth yields crop by itself, first the blade, then the head, then the full grain of the head. But when the grain ripens, immediately he puts it in the sickle because the harvest has come. I believe the word of God is above every fact. And the truth of that is this, is that when you do not believe that, you are consciously making a decision what type of harvest you will have in your life. We are the ones that determine our own harvest. We are the ones that determine what we're going to eat in the field. We are the ones that are going to determine. We cannot blame God. We cannot blame the devil. We cannot blame this earth. We cannot blame the situation. We cannot blame the cycle of life. We have got to look back at our own lives because God has given us something that we have never had before, and that is his word. Until his word came into place, we just had to live life. But once the Word became life to us through Jesus Christ, we now live in a different world. And the world we live in, we are no longer of this world. We are in the world to come. That God governs us by the Scripture. What is the Scripture? It is the constitution of the kingdom of God. This is what God declares you are and you have. And if we accept anything less, then what we've done is we've stepped out of truth and choose to live in facts. Here's a reality. At some point in time, you're going to get a bad report. At some point in time, there's difficulty that's going to come into your life. The Bible says that rain falls on the just and the unjust alike. And I believe without any question that with God in your life, He thwarts more bad reports than you could ever even know. I believe that many of us should have been dead a long time ago. But God by His angels and God by His Spirit has spared us even when we did not know. Even before we knew Christ, God was working in our life. Can I hear an amen? But there will come a time, even as a believer, that news comes into your life that will take your breath away. A bad report. Whether it be financial, whether it be your family, whether it be your health, whether it be your job, whether it be an addiction, there's some level in your life where something will be spoken over you. A report will be reamed and given to you, and you must make a decision. The decision is not God. There are a lot of people that sit back and they make this statement. They say, well, God is sovereign. The sovereign God decides everything that happens in my life. That is not what sovereignty means. The sovereign God has to keep His word. The sovereign God has to keep His word. The sovereign God has to keep His word. And God will bring nothing in your life that Christ already paid for. Please get that in your spirit. When the report comes, the first thing you've got to ask yourself is this something that God has brought in my life? Well, we know this, that the devil has come but to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus come that you might have life and life more abundant. We know that whenever abundant life is touched in a negative dimension, especially for what Christ on Calvary paid for. When Jesus died on the cross, He didn't just die for your sins to be washed away. He died so that your sins, your sicknesses, and poverty will be destroyed. Can I hear an amen? So whenever your health, your wealth, or your family is attacked, you cannot sit back and say, well, this must be God. Immediately you know this is not the will of God. This is not God's design. For God is a good father. And if you earthly parents know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more your heavenly Father knows how to bless you. Many believers, when they get a bad report, they accept it as from God. They take it in a passive dimension. Well, you know, I guess I'll just have to just wait for things to, sieve out. You know, I guess I'll just have to wait for everything to work out. I guess I'll just have to sit here. And they go into worry, and they go into complaining, and they go into moaning, and some of them get into bitterness. And we've got to apprehend ourselves to understand that if it's not the will of God, you are never to be passive, but only aggressive. This means that what Christ gave us, the authority in His name, the Bible says that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord on the earth, under the earth, and above the earth. That in the name of Jesus, that name that's above every name that He has granted to you and I, that in the name of Jesus, we have the same authority that He had on this earth. Jesus made the declaration, greater works shall you do because I go to the Father. That means whatever Jesus did, greater, that means more in abundance, will you and I be able to do, because He has given us His name, He has given us His authority, and we stand here not in the power of our might, but in the power of His might. And when all the dust is cleared, when we understand the authority and the word of God, there's nothing that will destroy your life. I can't hear you. Shout amen. We have a choice to make. Isaiah 53 verse 1 says this, who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? See, this is important. Your revelation determines your determination. The amount of revelation knowledge that you have of God's word puts a determination in your spirit that you will not just settle for anything. When people do not have revelation, then what they have is they have to accept everything as from God. This is why the enemy works so desperately to keep you out of the scripture. Because when you do not have a revelation of the word of God, then whatever comes down the trail, you deem as from him. Therefore, you accept the attack of the enemy as an assignment from God. And God is saying, no, if God is blessing you, God will not curse you. God cannot be two things at one time. The Lord wants you blessed and not cursed in every facet of your life. So we have a choice. Whose report will I believe? That's your choice. That's my choice. Whose report will I believe? Well, listen now. Everybody says they have faith. And faith is a really good theory until it's tested. Say it one more time. Your faith is theory until it's tested. Until trouble comes into your life, until that bad report comes into your life, you can skirt with the faith that you have without any problem. Now, we know that the Bible declares that God's given every man a measure of faith. We know that you can measure faith. We know he said to some, O ye of great faith, O ye of little faith. The disciples prayed, Lord, increase our faith. We've all been given this measure of faith, the faith enough to be born again. You see, when this service is over, I'm going to give an altar call to give you the opportunity to declare that Jesus Christ is Lord. He'll wash your sins away. He'll do a supernatural work in you. The old you will be gone. The new you will come. You'll be born again, washed by the blood of the Lamb, and know that you're a son and daughter of the Most High King. You have enough faith for that. But what happens when the bad report comes in your life and you have no revelation? What kind of foundation do you have with God's word when hell starts licking your toes? Well, let's be real. Let's just be honest. The majority of church, the kingdom of God, because of their ignorance and lack of revelation, immediately have no determination, but now they have to say, it must be God's will that I'm going through this in my life. When Christ has already paid for it, when the covenant has already been cut, when God cannot lie, and Jesus said, I am the same yesterday, today, and forever, when we land within the truth will make you free. And the truth that bends facts is not the truth of our philosophy, but it is the truth of the Word of God. And the only way to know the Word of God is to have revelation as you open the Scripture and allow God to feed you. And as you're being fed, all of a sudden the Word takes from a Logos Word, the written Word, to a living Word. And now the Word of God starts transitioning the facts back to truth. See, the truth is this, is that we all have trouble. When we have trouble, we have to make a decision. And that is, we have seed. We've talked about our thoughts being seed. We've talked about our time being seed. We've talked about our words being seed. We've talked about our hearts being the ground. We've talked the word is the seed. And immediately when trouble starts coming into our lives, we have the responsibility to say, whose report will I believe? Because at that moment, we're going to start planting seeds. At that very moment, we're going to start planting seeds. This is the situation where some of you are in your life. You hate your life. You're struggling with your life. The doctors have given you a report, and instead of fighting it, you're receiving it. Your family is struggling, and instead of fighting, you receive. Your finances are struggling, and instead of fighting, you're receiving. And what you're doing is you're taking the seed of truth, and saying, I really don't want that. I'd rather have the facts. Listen, isn't it crazy to realize that you and I have the absolute capability in the supernatural? Well, I'm not sure if I believe in the supernatural. That's your problem. You don't believe in the supernatural. You don't believe that God is truly God. You don't believe that God said let there be and there was. You don't believe that God can take something that is and change it to what he desires it to be. We don't believe that God said let there be light and there was light. There's a time of the body of Christ to get back to believing the word of God. That if God said it, it is done. It is settled. It don't matter what anybody says. God's word is true. And if it's not, let's go home. I choose to fight. Well, I'm tired. Oh, baby, if you're tired, then let me tell you what you need to do. You need to take a day or two and go spend time with Jesus, because the Bible says the joy of the Lord is your strength. I was listening to the radio the other day, and there was a song that came out and says, have you lost your joy? And I turned it off. Can't lose your joy. You give it up. You can't lose your peace. You give it up. You can't lose the power. You give it up. Resist, submit to God, resist the devil, and he's got to flee. The word flee means he's got to tuck his tail and run. We're not talking religion. We're talking the word of God. Well, Pastor, I'm just tired of fighting. Really? So you'd rather receive the facts and get tired with the facts? I want God's will for my life. I want God's word for my life. I want God's best for my life. And you see, so that means I've got to make a choice. Whose report will I believe? I choose to believe the report of the Lord. So immediately I take the word, the truth, and I plant it in the ground. I plant that seed, and then I find scriptures, the word of God, making declaration that the Lord said that my household shall be saved. I remember the time, listen now, I take that word for real. I remember the times when my sons were wayward. And I remember 3 a.m., many nights getting up while they're sleeping upstairs. And I'm battling in the Holy Ghost. In the name of Jesus, I command the devil that blinds the mind of the unbeliever to come off my sons. I rebuke you foul spirit for trying to destroy them. They've got the call of God on their lives. And you will not have them. I will battle through because the Lord is more powerful than the lies of this planet. Maybe you got a sickness in your life. The Bible makes a declaration in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 24, that by his stripes I was healed. I'm not healed today. I wasn't healed yesterday. I was healed 2,000 years ago on the cross of Jesus Christ when he hung on that old tree. You see, healing, just like forgiveness, they are equal. And as easy as it is to get saved is as easy as it is to get healed. Maybe I got financial problems. Well, first you got to ask yourself, are you in God's financial order? If you're not tithing, then you are God over your own money. So therefore, when you got problems, be God. If you're smart enough not to be God, obedience is better than sacrifice, then God is in control of your money because he is the owner. He is Adonai. He is the Lord. And when there is a lordship over you and your finances, you have divine access. You don't only have an amount. So right there, we plant seeds. The fact is that when we plant seeds, it is powerful because now the truth, that scripture we just read, makes a statement. It says this, the kingdom of God is if a man shall scatter seed on the ground and shall sleep by night and rise by day, and the seed should sprout and grow. He himself does not know how. It's not you and I trying to figure out how God's going to do this. The moment we got to try to figure God out, we got a problem. It's just like this. You plant the seed of truth and then you dig it back up. I wonder if it's working. Nope, nothing yet. Boy, you know, I didn't see any action. Hold on. Dig it back up. Nope, still nothing. The truth is that if you continue to dig up your seed, you know what you're going to find? It can't grow. Why can't it grow? Because the seed has life in itself, and by planting it in good ground, you're being the good ground, and taking care of that seed, you know that you will have growth automatic without you trying to do anything. You see, every one of us need to get back to the place of feeding our faith. Some of us watch way too much television. Listen, when you have a bad report, you don't have time for Days of Your Lives. Some of you watch just the most foul things, and you think you're going to get God's blessing by watching foulness. Man, we got to wake up, because what you put in is seed. You will harvest what you put in. Well, I don't believe that. That's your problem. So you want just enough of God to go to heaven, but you don't want to live for him. That's just very confusing to me. It's almost like being a preacher for hire. They call them hirelings. You couldn't pay me enough to be a pastor of their church. Nobody could. Why? Because if it's not a calling, it's crazy. You see, we are in a position where each one of us, when we plant that seed, that's when we've got to be in the Word. That's when we've got to get into the Word of God. We've got to feed ourselves the Scripture. We've got to go through. What does God say about healing? Is it God's will to always heal? Man, when you find out that answer, and I challenge you all to read a book. It's F.F. Bosworth's book called Christ the Healer. If you're dealing with sickness or disease in your life, you got to consume that book. You need to eat that book. You need to devour that book and then read it again and read it again. It's going to give you the foundation to know it's always God's will to heal. You can't pray in faith and truth unless you know it's always God's will. Well, I'm not sure if God wants my family saved. For it's God's will that none should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Well, I'm not sure if God wants my finances blessed. God said, I'll bless you abundantly above all you could even ask or imagine. He said, I take blessing and pleasure in the prosperity of my children. God wants you blessed. You start watering the seeds with the Word. You start speaking the Word. See, what some of us do is this, is instead of speaking the Word, we don't speak the Word. If something doesn't happen quick enough, well, I guess it's not God's will. Well, I guess that seed's never going to work. Well, I guess that seed, you know what? You know, maybe the Bible isn't all true. Well, and all of a sudden you take that seed that was once living because God's word is truth and truth is above facts. And now you've chosen to destroy that seed by the words of your mouth. Your tongue is as the pen of a ready writer. Life and death are in the power of your tongue. Oh, Pastor, you know, I think you're just a little over the top. Really? Really? Is this not what the Bible says? Is this not the Word of God? Is it not the Word of God that when we speak, we are planting seeds? We went through a whole series of that. Man, you need to go back and listen to it again. It's on the free archives on our website. You need to recognize that every word that is spoken will either bring life or death to this seed that you have planted. For your words are seed. Are you speaking death to your situation? Well, I guess God doesn't want me to have that job. Well, I guess God, you know what? I guess I'm just going to have to live this way. Well, you know, I guess this situation. Well, I guess I'm just going to have to be sick. Well, I guess. Stop guessing. When you know the will of God. You see, the fact is the devil, he's a foul beast. He's come to steal the seed. He's come to steal your faith. You've got to watch your words. Matthew 12, verse 37, by your words you will be justified and by your words you will be condemned. You see, the fact is that when you plant that seed, because you need a miracle, you can't see it, but it's working. That's God's word. And so what happens is this. In the interim, time is one of the greatest thieves of your miracle. shame is one of the greatest destroyers of truth. Well, why is that? Because we will spend more attention on the time than on watering the seed. So all of a sudden you're believing, man, you need a miracle. And all of a sudden, a fear starts to come on you. Spirits of fear. Oh my goodness, what happens if I don't get my miracle? Will I go bankrupt? Will my children go to hell? And all of a sudden, you get engulfed. You're totally engulfed by fear. And now, fear cancels your faith. And now you're stepping away from your seed. And no matter how powerful that seed is, no matter how true that seed is, you've got to make a decision. For the Spirit of the Lord has not given me the spirit of fear, but a power, a love, and a sound mind. You've got to make a decision that you cannot allow fear to control your life. Be anxious for nothing, but everything by prayer and supplication. Make your request to God, and then the peace of God shall keep your hearts and your minds. You've got to make a decision that you are refusing to allow fear to be part of your life, because once fear becomes part of your life, once anxiety becomes part of your life, it will control you. And you know, it doesn't just come once. You can rebuke the spirit of fear, and in that interim of time, he's going to come back and try to get you to get in fear again. You rebuke it, and it's just like a dog. Devils are just like dogs. You tell them to sit down and shut up, and you turn around, they're back up walking. You've got to be constant and consistent against the foul beasts that are there to destroy your miracle. You've got to be persistent and say, devil, I will never allow fear to control my life. In Jesus' name, you can try, baby, but you're going to lose. I told you to back off in the name of Jesus. You see, every devil in hell knows the name of Jesus. They are subject in the name of Jesus, but they will try. They will try. But you see, if you don't know the revelation, you don't know the word, then when fear starts coming on you, it now overtakes you. Once anxiety overtakes you, man, you got to go on medication. Usually, once you're on medication, then your faith level is so diminished. And now you can't believe God that this is actually growing. Even though God wants it to grow, now you've stopped watering it. You've stopped feeding it. You've stopped preparing it. And now that seed that was once truth that would bend your fact is now dead in the ground. Because truth is activated by faith. Uh-uh. Truth is activated by faith and not fear. In Jesus' name, go. You've got to arrest your doubts. You've got to start doubting your doubts and start feeding your faith. You see, some of you, the devil's got you bamboozled. What do I mean by that? The trouble came. You believed for a little bit, and then you gave up. Now you've got to live in doubt. Now you've got to always question when you pray. Now your faith is so diminished that you can't even stand in faith anymore. Fighting the good fight of faith is even more difficult because now you think it's God who abandoned you. I want you to know that God cannot abandon you. God cannot lie. If God said it, it is so. Not one jot or tittle shall pass away before it's all come to fruition. We cannot abandon the word of God. The word of God is truth. We cannot embrace circumstances and facts above the word. Are you out there this morning? You've got to take captivity of every thought and imagination that would raise us up. You see, you're believing. Now you're feeding. Oh, in Jesus' name, I thank you that by your stripes I was healed. I thank you, Jesus, that, Lord, I wasn't healed yesterday. I was healed 2,000 years ago. Lord, just as you saved me, and as simple as it was to confess, Lord, I thank you that that's part of my covenant rights. So, Lord, by your stripes, I am set free in Jesus' name. Jesus, you healed all that came to you, not some that came to you. Lord, I know that your very nature, I am the God that healeth thee. Your finances, start speaking over your finances. Start Start speaking over your family. Start proclaiming the word that God is able to move abundantly. He just wants to bless you. It's time to start feeding it. But man, don't think that those thoughts aren't going to come. Is this real? Is this really working? I can't see any evidence. I don't see anything. God, how do I know if it's working or not? You see, this is faith. Faith is believing in something you cannot see, not I'll believe it when I see it. And so what happens when our faith is weak? We've got to be more in the Word. Some of us are not in the Word, and we wonder why we flounder like a fish on the side of the pond. We've got to say, God, I've got to put away all things. I've got to focus on you. Feed your spirit. Feed your spirit. Feed your spirit. Faith will arise, for faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And all of a sudden, it's not you just surviving believing, but now you're declaring and decreeing. You see, all of this is so real because the thoughts will come. Fear will come. I learned this a long time ago about building a church. It's not who you allow to come, it's who you allow to stay. And it's the same thing in your life when you're believing God for your miracle. There are people you need to extract from your life. There are people you need to eliminate from your life. There are people you need to take away from your life because even though they love Jesus, they have no revelation. You and I don't have, we don't have, what's the word I'm looking for? We don't have the right to have people around us that will steal our faith. You've got to clean out your closet. You know, it's not that you throw your friends away, but you spend no time with them. Call them on the phone. Hey, I love you. Have a great day. You need faith people around you. You need people who are going to decree and declare with you. You need people who are going to stand firm in faith with you. Fighting the good fight of faith, sometimes you need someone standing behind you, maybe holding your shield or holding the sword. It's time to recognize that sometimes you can't do this alone. Almost done. I went late, but the service is late, so it's not my fault. I'll blame whoever I got to blame. Do you remember Jairus? He came to Jesus. He said, Jesus, my little girl is sick and dying. Now, you got to understand, he wasn't talking about a friend. He was talking about his baby girl. Now we have folks in the house that have lost their children. You know what that means, man. That is, when your child is sick, there is nothing you won't do. Nothing you won't do to get your kid healthy. Nothing. There is a sense that overwhelms you, a fear that tries to consume you. And here's Jairus. He comes up to Jesus and he says, Jesus, I know. Here's his faith. I know. Here's his seed. I know. Here's his words. I know if you'll lay hands on my daughter, I know she'll be well. And so Jesus said, okay, let's go. Off they go on the way to go to Jairus' house. And this woman, how dare she? A woman with the issue of blood, 12 years. She spent all that she had it, and she heard about Christ. And she said she planted seed. She said she planted seed. If you say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be cast into the sea, and do not doubt, you shall have what you ask. And she said, if I touch the hem of his garment, I know I'll be well. And so she wiggled her way in and touched Jesus. She got healed and stopped Jesus from going to Jairus' house. Can you imagine, Jairus? What are you doing, Jesus? Don't you know my baby? She's sick. She's almost dead. Jesus, I need you. I need you to move on. Lady, what are you doing? And then the news comes. Don't bother him. Don't bother the Messiah. Your little girl died while he was on his way. Whose report will you believe? Oh, but Pastor, she's dead. Oh, but I know the resurrection and the life. You see, do you know a dead God or do you know a living God? Do you know the supernatural God or do you know the sufficient, just barely making it by God? You see, I know the God that can take something and make something that there was none there before. I know the God that can speak and create. I know the God who can change situations. I know the God who can take a brain tumor and in milliseconds go pop and it's gone out of their heads. I know God who can grow a limb. I know a God who can heal of diseases. I know a God who can do anything. Do you know that God, or are you just serving a revelatory God of just making it by? It's time to get your faith in order. It's time to get your life in order. It's time to say, just like Jairus, oh, he was worried. This is what Jesus said. Who said? Who's Jesus? He's the Word. Jesus said, don't be afraid. Only believe. The seed died. Jesus was on his way. He wasn't at home when baby girl died. Some would say, well, it's over. It's over. She's dead. But Jesus made a declaration. That seed is in the ground. You might not know how it's growing. You might not know how it's going to work. But this thing I want you to know, that if the truth is in the ground, if the truth, the seed of the Word is living, if the truth is alive and well, and Jesus said he was the truth, then when you know this, then you know that even though you can't tell what's happening under the ground, when Jesus got to Jairus' house, he raised that little girl from the dead. But you see, if Jairus, when he came to the choice, Jesus, he could have said, Jesus, don't bother coming to my house, but instead he obeyed the word of the Lord. Don't be afraid, only believe. Don't pluck your seed up. Don't destroy your seed. Keep it in the ground. You see, today we've got to make a decision what kind of faith we have. Some of us got problems with our finances. Some of us got problems with our jobs. Some of us got problems with our wives or husbands. Some of us got problems with our children. Someone's got problems, just problems. Some people just collect them. Some people got a report from the doctor that is wrong, bad, evil. It doesn't matter what report you got. It matters what you're going to do with the report you got. It really doesn't matter what the facts are. It matters what the truth is. Well, I'm not sure. Exactly. So you have to live in the facts if you choose to not believe. And if you constantly roast your seed with words, well, I believe in God. Why isn't it working? Don't be dumb as a toad. With your words, you're either justified or you're cursed. What are you speaking? What are you saying? Here's what the word says. You ready? I'm done here. Colossians 1 verse 23 says this. You must continue to believe this truth and stand firmly in it. Don't drift away from the assurance you received when you heard the gospel. What's the gospel? It's not just salvation. The gospel is salvation, healing, and deliverance from poverty. Here's Mark. Then Jesus says to his disciples, have faith in God. Today you might have more faith in your fact than you do in God, and it's time to have a shift in your life. It's time to watch truth bend your facts. But you can't do that unless you have revelation, because you'll just sit there and whine. And if you're in sin, you can't have it anyways, because God ain't hearing your prayers. I have a question for you. I'd like you to bow your heads. I've got to end quickly. When I go this late, I cause problems in the children's ministry. I have a question for you. Do you love your sin more than you love your God? Do Do you love living in your sin more than you love your God? Because if you do, your seed to harvest is very simple. And that is, you'll be lost for all of eternity. But Pastor, I love God, but I love my sin too. Well, you got to make a choice. You do know that having two wives means that you're going to get killed. You marry two women at the same time, it's unhealthy. Not only sin, but you'll die. So why do you think you can marry two gods and then go to heaven? Well, Pastor, it's not that easy. It's not that easy to choose. And exactly by the seeds of your mouth, it's not. But I want to tell you what it is. Romans chapter 6 says you're no longer a slave to sin, but you've been freed. You are no longer subject to sin, but you are free. There is no way that sin can hold you captive. You are free. Today, if you do not know Jesus, or you know there's a sin in your life that's holding you back from going to heaven today, it's seed. It's harvest. It will come. Do not be deceived, for God has not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. Some of you parents are saying, well, you know, my kid isn't responding. Watch, they're getting the word in them. My husband or my wife is unsaved, and they're in the building this morning. They're not responding, Pastor. It doesn't matter. The seed has been planted. They're already messed up. I should say messed right. Today, if you know you're not right with God and you need to get right with Jesus, I want you to raise your hand up right now. You know you're not right with the Lord Jesus Christ. You know if he comes today, you're not going. Maybe you've never accepted him as your Lord and Savior, and today you want to make your life right with Christ. If that's you, I want you to raise your hand up right now. I'm not going to wait long. Come on, get your hand up. 5, 4, get your hand up. 3, 2, last call, and 1. Father, I thank you that you've called us to be successful and not beggars on the side of the street. Lord, there's nothing in our lives that you don't want to bless and prosper. So God, today in the name of Jesus, I pray that we will have a holy boldness that will come upon us. Lord, that those who do not have a good foundation will determine, I will have the foundation in Christ. I will build my faith. God, those that, Lord Jesus, are struggling, that Father, you will uphold them with your right hand. That God, you will protect them. Lord, that the devil will not be able to snatch them. That God, that you will be able to build them and strengthen them. That God, they'll call faith friends. That Lord Jesus, they will not destroy their own seed. Lord, I just declare in this house that we are blessed and not cursed. Lord, I decree 1,000 for each service. I decree 500 on Tuesday, 500 on Wednesday, 500 on Thursday. I declare God will have such influence in this region that, Lord God, will be able to minister to even the ministers, that God will be able to minister even to the political realm, that God will have influence in our entire county. God, this region you have called us to, that Jesus, we will make impact for the kingdom of God. I declare it in Jesus' name. I declare health and not sickness over your body. I declare freedom of their mind. For you, Lord, has not given them a spirit of fear. Lord, I come against anxiety in Jesus' name. You foul spirit, I command you to loose the children of God even today. Father, I thank you that you have greatness for us. I'm going to have the prayer team come to the front of the altar. And today, if you need prayer for anything, I need you to come forward. I want you to get ministered to. They're going to agree in prayer with you. Today, don't allow this word to fall by the wayside. Get it in your spirit. Some of you are under conviction. That's God's grace in your life. Some of you just don't care. I'm praying for you. Stop settling, amen? I said stop settling. Say amen. Turn to someone and say, stop settling. Come on, tell somebody else, stop settling. I want all that Jesus has for me. I am that tree that's planted by the rivers of water. I will produce fruit, and my leaf will never wither. And whatever I touch, hang on now, it shall prosper. Because that's who I am. That's who God says I am. Amen. Stand to your feet with me this morning. Father, release a blessing in the house in the name of Jesus. I declare that no weapon formed against us shall prosper. Lord, hear the words, the seed that are going out even today. Lord, I rebuke even assignments that have been put against the children of God to disembark them from their purposes. Lord, I rebuke it in Jesus' name. I pray, God, that each one of us will have the conviction. Each one of us will come into alignment. Each one of us will be people of great faith that will be able to do mighty things wherever we are. Lord, healing the sick, casting out devils, speaking in new tongues. God, will be people of the supernatural living in your presence for the glory of heaven. And everybody in agreement said? I said everybody in agreement said? Amen. We love you. If you have children, please quickly go get your children. I love you. Have an awesome day. If you need prayer, the prayer teams are on the front of the altar. And if you're our guest, we'd love to meet you in the guest reception room right on the other side of that wall.